There's two stories about the Christmas events that we consider about the Christmas events. And really, it actually is only one. Because what we consider the Christmas story in Matthew chapter 2 is actually not the Christmas story per se, because it did not happen at the birth of Jesus. It happened at least 2 years or so down the road. And then when you get into Luke, you find out that that was the birth account, because he gives the story about his birth. And what I want to emphasize this morning in these two stories, I want you to pay attention to these particular things. In Matthew chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, we find this account. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Now, what does it say? Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Now think about that. Think about that. And then I want to read you a couple of verses from Luke chapter 2. "And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" Now I want you to look at the contrast here. Who are we talking about in the first reading, in Matthew chapter 2? We're talking about wise men, or kings, in some translations puts it. We're talking about very, very well-off people. We're talking about people that are in front of people. People are that have the presence, if you want to say it that way. And when they came to the king in the capital. They came to the highest place of authority. And the question they asked was this: there was nothing in there about Savior. "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Did you ever stop to think about the contrast? That Matthew, you have a group of very important men that have come to see the new king. Nothing higher in those days than a king. Nothing with more authority in those days than a king. And they're coming and asking, "Where is he who has been born?" And not just king, but king of the Jews. Specific. No wonder troubled Herod when he heard about it, because Herod was supposed to be, and in reality at that time, he was the king. And that's why it says when the king heard this, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. Something's getting ready to happen here. But in Matthew's account, when you have the actual birth of Jesus, why would a king have gone to a stable? Why did the king not go to Bethlehem? Why did he go to Jerusalem? Now, you know, there was something around the birth of Jesus Christ that reached out into the atmosphere of the world, or at least the Middle East of that time, reached out into the atmosphere of the world and said to them, this person is special. This person is a king. And it wasn't the last time we were to hear him referred to as king either. We hear him referred to as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When he returns on that white horse, there's a name written on his thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's the picture that Matthew is painting here. Matthew is presenting Jesus as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. One that would draw people from everywhere, people of great status. And you know what? There's something interesting in this, because people of that kind of importance, people that draw people of great status to them, tend to be looked at as unapproachable by the common person. I mean, think of it in their own terms right now. President could get a notification from some dignitary from another country, somebody of high prestige, and say, I'm going to come, and while I'm in Washington, I want to see you. And they probably get the opportunity. They get the invitation. Now let me ask you this. If any of you were to go to Washington, and a lot of people go to Washington to see what the country capital looks like and to see all the historic sites. But let me ask you this. How many of you in here would feel comfortable and secure that you even weren't just wasting your time if you knew you were going to make a trip to Washington and you called up the White House and said, tell President Obama I'm going to be in Washington next week and I want to see him? Would you have the confidence to do that? Probably not, because you're going to say, he'd say, who? Who wants to see me? But when Luke writes this story, he says, and she brought forth her firstborn and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and lay him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. Who's going to go to the stable looking for anybody important? You just don't associate that. If he's very important, he's not going to be in a stable. He's going to be somewhere in a king's palace. And here were a group of shepherds out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Shepherds. Common, ordinary people. Had a hard job. They'd have to go out sometimes, depending on their status. If you were just an apprentice shepherd, you got the dirty jobs. If you were the head shepherd, maybe you assign everybody else what they were going to be doing, and you might get to go to the house at night. But here they were out there keeping watch over their flocks by night, not knowing that anything's happening, not looking to anything. And all of a sudden, the heavens light up, and the angel of the Lord said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, for there is born to you." For there is born to you a Savior. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. What's that say? In spite of the fact that he should be revered as a king, he came in the humblest means possible, representing the fact that he came to the lowest realm of society. And by low, I don't mean anything bad. I just simply mean, you know, when you go looking at things, if you go by income, there's a low level. There's a high level. You go by the dwelling place, there's a low level. There's a high level. Some people live in mobile homes. Other people live in million-dollar mansions. And the important thing is this. Matthew is presenting him as a king. Luke is presenting him as a Savior. The reverence and the splendor of being a king doesn't cover everything necessary. But the depth to the lowest level of society, for unto you is born this day a Savior. You need to see him both ways. And then that way, you don't have a fear of coming into his presence because you're not worthy. And on the other hand, you don't take him for granted, because you see his awesomeness as the king. In humility, he's our Savior, the sacrifice, the lamb that was slain. In majesty, he is our king. Now, when the kings came in, they said, "We want to worship him." And it says, when they came into the house, they worshiped him. And they presented to him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And you know, in this story here, in Luke, not a thing said about them worshiping that baby. I don't know if you ever looked at that or not, but it's not there. "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Now, the only thing I can say about that, and I'm just going to throw this out there to you. You better see that he's your Savior. You better see your Savior. You better take time to go to him. Come, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. You see your Savior. You declare your Savior. You praise and glorify God for your Savior. But you worship your King. Which in our case happens to be one and the same. But you got to see him both ways, or something will be missing. Amen. It's 11 o'clock, a little past. Are they done back there? You got to give them? Okay. Now, let me just say this. Next Sunday, and I know that many people have many different things that they do, but we're going to be here from 9:30 to 10:30 with a special Christmas Day service. If you can't make it, you know, that's fine. We're not going to judge you or throw stones at you or nothing like that, because I know there's a lot of things that change. And on the other hand, I want to say this. It just didn't seem right to us to say, Jesus, I know it's your birthday and I know we're celebrating you, but we don't have time to work into our schedule. And I'm not trying to put guilt on anybody. If you got to do something else, you do it. I'm just saying, for our part, if nobody shows up but me and Laverne, we just couldn't say we're not going to have it because it's going to interfere with what a lot of people have to do. Just keep it in mind. It's 1 hour. If you can't make it, God bless you, and you have a Merry Christmas. And if you can make it, we hope to see you here then. And now I'm going to do one other little thing here before I dismiss you, because I know the kids back there are always, when I preach a short message, they'll say, especially my grandkids, Grandpa, you didn't preach long enough. We didn't have nothing to do. I'm going to look at, you know, there's a lot of cards back here. I'm going to look at some of these cards. And I'm going to tell you that there's I don't know whether I was going to pass them out or not, but I want to tell you this. There's cards back here for the Relfords. There's cards back here for the Keltner, Mitchum, Jackson, Holmes. You going to deliver them all? That may take a little bit. If I call your name, if you can deliver them or come and get them. Rice. My guy is. They're in alphabetical order.
Yeah, they're in alphabetical order.
So you know they're looking for the H's and the M's. How about giving those to Maxine and Mill and tell them to make sure they get them? Yeah, they got one. Here's another one. McClister's, Danny and Debbie. Mitchum's. Rigsby. Well, keep digging them up. Mitchum. Let Cheryl take those to Joyce. Lawson. Okay, as everybody's leaving after a few minutes, there's going to be a treat for everybody that leaves outside, so don't go past. Don't get in too big a hurry that you miss your treat.